It's always so special to be here. I think I shared it last time, but this is actually where I preached my very first sermon in front of a congregation. So this house will always hold a special, special place for me. And so I want to share just a few things with you before we dive into it. I was talking to Alicia earlier, said it'd be okay. A couple of stops I've shared out. I want to share about some partnership opportunities, some ministry opportunities I have. The biggest one right now is this summer, I'm going to have the opportunity to go back to Belize, where I went last year for the first time, and the Lord did incredible things in Belize, and to this day, I have stayed in touch with several pastors that I met there and several of the people, and so God's doing a good work in Belize, and I'm excited to go back this year. This year, I'm going back. I'll be leading worship, helping lead worship throughout the entire trip, as well as we'll have an opportunity to minister the word at some different services too. So I'm super excited. But what I'm sharing with some people is that does come at a cost, right, to do missions. And so I have some cards with me today, just partnership cards. If you would be interested or feel led to sow into the work that the Lord is going to do in Belize, I have a card for you. If you would just come see me after service, I'd love to visit with you, ask any questions. And on the card, the first way it says to partner, which is the most important, if you can't give, pray. And more than I would ask for any financial support, I would just ask for your prayers. And to be honest, the last couple of times I've shared about this, I've been a little nervous to share about partnership. Because if you know kind of my ministry setup, I am on the road traveling and speaking, but I am also still on staff at a church in Heber. And so I'm blessed that the income I get from that church, that's what I live off of. And so I've always been hesitant to invite people into partnership for my ministry just because I have the thought of like, well, I don't need the money. It's great. It allows me to do things, but I don't have to have it, you know, as far as I'm not going to starve if I don't have it. But the Lord's been dealing with my mind a little bit on that. And number one, just because how many of you know it's important to sow into the kingdom of God? And I'm not talking for me. More important, it's important that you sow into what the kingdom of God is doing here at your home church, but also in regards to me, what the Lord's been dealing with me with is what my setup allows me to do is it allows me to put 100% of any funds that I gain through ministry straight to ministry. I don't put it in my pocket. It doesn't come to me for personal use. So it's sown into the kingdom of God. And I'm believing the total cost of the trip, just expense to get me to Belize, is $2,000, but I'm believing for a lot more because 100% of anything given over that 2,000 number is going to be sown into the pastors, the churches, the organizations that I've kept in touch with and that we're going to be working with this year. So I would appreciate your partnership in prayer, in giving, whatever way. So it is such an honor to be here with you this morning. I'm excited to minister the word. I've got a weighty word I feel this morning, a prophetic to the times we're living in. How many of you know we're living in some crazy times? I mean, we're 3 months into the year, March 31st, and we've already seen some crazy things happen this year. And so I believe that now more than ever, it is time for the church of God to raise up, to take her position in the place that the Lord has called her to be. And listen, the days of the silent church are over. They're dead and gone. And the reality is, if the church is remaining silent in this hour, then something needs to be adjusted. Something needs to be shifted. In this hour, we are called to lift our voice, to cry aloud, to spare not, to lift up our voice like a trumpet, to declare the terms of the Lord to a world that need it. And so if you have your Bible this morning, if you would turn with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 58. We're going to read 12 verses of scripture. And is there a water hiding out around here somewhere that I might could get? If possible, thank you so much. You're good. You're good. Isaiah 58, I'm going to read 12 verses of scripture. We're going to read through them pretty quick. If you can, if you don't mind tradition, I have at my home church that I love. If you would stand in honor of the reading of the word of God. If you can't, that's all right as well. But in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 1 through 12, it starts out like this. It says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways as a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me the ordinance of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Verse 3, why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? In fact, in the day of your fast, you find pleasure and exploit all of your laborers. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate and to strike with the fist of wickedness. Catch this. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Wow, what a word that's coming forth right there. Verse 5, it goes on to say, is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? And in verse 6, we're going to see it shift. This is the fast of the Lord. It says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring into your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Catch verse 8. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and the speaking of wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. Just a couple more verses. Then the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Verse 12, I love this. Those from among you shall rebuild. Thank you, Josie. Those from among you shall rebuild the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations, and you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Father, we thank you this morning, God, for this opportunity to be in your house. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to minister your word. Father, and I confess right now that Holy Spirit, I need you. Father, we need your presence. We need your spirit to come and move through this place. Father, I pray, Lord, that as I minister the word, that my tongue would be as the pen of a ready writer. Father, that you would employ my mouth. Speak through me. God, give us ears to hear. Give us hearts and minds to receive. We declare no spirit but the Holy Spirit in this house today, Lord. And we will give you the honor and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Come on, what a powerful word that is coming through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah in that moment, instructing. And I love the verse 1. You've got to catch this. Is verse 1, as he is saying, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. That is the Lord speaking to the prophet Isaiah, giving him the charge of, this is where Israel is at right now. This is how they're living. This is how they're fasting. And I am calling you to go in and set some order to some things. Because if you look, the way that the Israelites were fasting in that moment was not pleasing to the heart of God. They were fasting to elevate the position of themselves instead of to elevate the position of God amongst them. And if we're not careful, we can be in the same place. We can have the spiritual fervor, the activity, but yet there can be no authenticity behind what we're doing. But I believe that we're in a season where the Lord is bringing his church into alignment with the kingdom of heaven in order to advance the kingdom purpose in this hour. And when we come into alignment, praise God for the promise of his word that he has to be true to. Come on, if he said it, then it is done. That when we are in alignment with the kingdom, that healing breaks forth, that we can take on his fast to undo the heavy yoke, to undo the burden, to take out the enemy who is coming to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And I came to put notice on hell today that no longer will he rob from the people of God, but this will be the hour where the people rise in boldness, where they lift their voice like a trumpet, where for the sake of their family, for the sake of their city, their region, their nation, they will not hold back, they will not back down, but they will charge the gates of hell in the power and in the authority of an almighty God. Come on, it is time for the church to realize that the enemy may come with a spear and a sword, but we come in the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord that is greater than any other thing that could dare to stand in the way of the church. And I want to preach to you today from this idea. The title of this sermon is Put Down the Flute and Pick Up the Trumpet. And if we look at this, excuse me. I've yet to preach this and not get happy, so it's probably going to happen. If we look at this, this is a rebuke to the state of Israel. They were in a futile place. And the context of this is most likely the post-exilic period where the people were tasked with rebuilding the ancient ruins and repairing the breach that was in Jerusalem, but yet they were focusing on empty ritual rather than practical righteousness. So as I've already said, God through the prophet Isaiah is giving instruction on how to bring Israel back into alignment with what he is trying to do in that hour. And I don't know about you, but in this hour, when I take my last breath, whenever that day comes, if it's tomorrow, if it's many years down the road, I want to be called a repairer of the breach. I want to be called the restorer of streets to dwell in. I want my legacy to be someone who did not sit idly by while culture was trying to rear an ugly head, but somebody who stood to declare the terms of the Lord in order to bring peace and wholeness to something. But we've got to understand that if we want to be those people in this hour, if we want to make straight the crooked paths and rebuild the ruins of old, we've got to understand that we will never lead a people into that place. We will never lead a people into the revelation of the glory of an almighty God if we are still pacifying them in their sin, which is what the church is doing right now. Not this house. When I say the church, I'm talking about the big C, the big church. We've got a lot of people that are pacifying a culture in sin instead of declaring the truth of the Word of God. And what we are doing is we are preaching an adulterated version of the gospel, and it does not take long to see it in our culture. I can get on Facebook, I can get on TikTok, I can get on whatever social platform, and within a couple videos of me scrolling, I can see somebody who is a wolf in shepherd's clothing, who is preaching an adulterated version of the gospel, and who is leading an entire generation to hell. If we're being honest, I'm gonna preach it tough this morning. I'm not mad, I'm passionate. I refuse to be silent. I refuse to hold back in this hour because I know the truth of the gospel. And I know what can bring healing and wholeness and peace to a generation that needs it. And so we have got to quit pacifying a culture and their sin. And when we talk about the flute and the trumpet, this is where I get my title. If we look at both of those instruments, did anybody in here play like the flute or the trumpet in high school band? Oh, I see a hand. See a hand? Okay, awesome. Awesome. I'm not bashing on y'all when I talk about the flute. When I talk about the flute today, though, you've got to understand the flute, it is a charming instrument. It's entertaining. It's soft. It's soft tones, comfortable atmospheres. It's emotional appeal. And if we're talking in a prophetic sense for this sermon, it is cultural acceptance. We've got to understand that when the flute is played, it doesn't cause any discomfort and it doesn't cause any alarm. But they blend, they soothe, and unfortunately we have many today who are playing a flute to a burning culture, but I came to speak to some trumpets today because the trumpet, it carries warning, it carries authority, it carries declaration. And in the scripture, just the trumpet throughout, it was used to call the people to assemble, it was used to warn of danger, it was used to announce war, it was used to proclaim the arrival of a king. The trumpet was not background noise, but the trumpet was an interrupter, and when that trumpet was sound, it demanded the people's attention. And what we've got to understand today is that in this hour, the Lord is not rebuking, and nor is he looking for a church that is silent, but he is looking for a church that is a roaring lion. He is looking for a church that is willing to declare what he says and not back off of it. We're living in a time where culture is bold, sin is celebrated, truth is redefined, and the church is too pressured to soften her tone. But we have to understand that when compromise becomes the standard of normality, then those who are carrying the truth must become louder and they must become bolder. The instruction of the prophet Isaiah in that moment was not to subtly identify the issue. It was not to dance around the topic in order to appease the people and make sure their feelings weren't hurt and make sure they weren't uncomfortable. But the Lord gave the prophet a charge, and he says, you are to lift up your voice. You are to sound the alarm, because the way they are living now will lead to sure destruction. And I believe it's the responsibility of the church in this same hour to pick up that mantle and to pick up that fervor and that fire, because we've got to understand that there were a people in that day who thought they had access. There were a people in that day who thought that they were doing the right thing, but yet they were doing it all in vain, and their prayer was not reaching the ear of an almighty God. And we've got to understand that our spiritual activity does not equal spiritual authenticity. We can do the activity, and yet we can miss having an authentic and a pure and a genuine heart. To be spiritually active, it means that you're spiritual, and to be spiritually active without having authenticity, it means that your spiritual practice and actions are done from a place of self-preservation and promotion, and it is an abuse of the faith for selfish gain. The spiritual activity is what you do, but the spiritual authenticity is the why behind what you do, behind what you are doing. And we see in the text that they have activity without authenticity. But you have to be careful of this. Hear me today, because when you stay in the place of soul activity, you lose the ability to check for authenticity. In verses 2 through 3 of what we read, God is describing the appearance of their spiritual life. And on the surface, it seems all right. On the surface, from the outside looking in, it looks like they loved him and they were devoted to him. It looks like they were righteous people. But they're asking, "We have fasted and you have not seen." And they're asking this because they felt that the Lord was being unfair to them. They're challenging the Lord. "We're doing these things, but you're not responding." And that's where the Lord comes to set them in place, because he says, "You are fasting, but yet you're abusing your workers in the day of your fast. You're fasting, but you're fasting to win an argument. You're fasting, but you're fasting to gain power." And we've got to understand that this is flute religion. It sounds spiritual. It looks committed. It performs devotion, but yet it avoids repentance. And it's the same Pharisaical spirit that we see in Matthew chapter 6. When Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray, and he's saying, "Don't pray like the Pharisees who do it in order to be seen. Don't fast like them, that they do it to be seen. But you fast unto me. You fast so that in the day of your fast, I'll hear you and I'll respond to your prayer." And if we have to be so careful in the day and hour we're living in, because how many of you know it's easy today to look the part? It's easy today to look like you're righteous and look like you're holy and doing all the right things, but behind closed doors, it's not the truth. But we've got to understand that the Lord is calling his people into a place where what is done in public is done in secret. I was reading this last week about Judas and leading up to the Easter story, and I made a post. Some of you may have seen it. But I talked about making sure that you kill the Judas that's within you. Because what Judas did was he kissed Jesus in public. "Oh, my Savior, I love you," in the garden. But the kiss was only a signal of the betrayal that he had already committed. Before he went to kiss Jesus, he was in private and he said, "I'll sell that man out to you. How much money will you give me?" He had made a deal that led to the crucifixion of Christ, that led to the capture. And would to God that in this hour, that the way we live our lives in public is backed by the secret place. You've got to understand that appearance will only take you so far. Appearance will only take you to the point. Listen, We've got some rough ideology in the church, in my opinion, if I'm being honest, of the Lord hears your prayers and he hears this and that. And it's true, the Lord hears when you cry, but let me also make sure that you understand that it says the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. If you are living in sin, I'm not talking about you've messed up. I'm talking about you are comfortably living a life that is contrary to Scripture, that is contrary to the Word of God, that is sinful. The Lord is not responding on your behalf. The prayers of the righteous. And we need righteous men and women in this hour to stand up and to live the life that the Lord has called us to live, to be a standard in our culture and to be a standard in our nation of what it means to be a blood-bought believer. Because when the blood-bought stand and when they lift up their voice, it echoes in the ears of an almighty God and it causes him to respond on our behalf. They were active, but the noise of their activity drowned out their ability to check for their authenticity. It's spiritual practice without spiritual alignment. And we must be careful of this, because there's a reason that in Galatians, Jesus tells us, in Galatians, it's written, and he says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Because when we're constantly in activity, it covers up the evidence of what is slowly eroding in our lives. But we have got to make sure that when we are active in the faith, which we should be, the faith is never meant to stand still. It is continually moving. But we have to make sure that when we're active, that we are active from the right place and from the right heart of authenticity and of a genuine heart before God. We've got to understand that we can't live compromised Monday through Saturday and then expect heaven to respond to us on Sunday. And unfortunately, this is a clear picture of the culture that we're living in. We've got Christian conferences, we've got Christian content, we've got Christian branding, and none of those things are inherently bad. But these things, we've got to understand that it's not the optics of our faith that get the attention of our God. It's the sincerity behind the heart that we're operating in. When you are aligned, then the optics fall into place on their own. And that is what causes the Lord to respond and what causes the Lord to act. So we've got to come back to a place where our spiritual activity is backed by spiritual authenticity. Right. And we've also got to come into a place in the church where the sound that we are releasing is a certain sound. It's a sure sound to the culture that we're living in. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, it says, for if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? An unclear church and an unclear sound create an unprepared people. An unclear church and unclear sound create an unprepared people, and we do not have time in this hour to create unprepared people. We don't have time in this hour to raise up people who are not sure in the faith and who are not willing to release the certain sound. Because what we are experiencing in culture, what we're experiencing in our nation, it is coming directly against the people of God. And listen to me today, because for far too long, I believe that we have lived in a place where we have just accepted it, where we've said, you know what, they do their thing, we'll do our thing. But we've got to understand, and I believe it with all of my heart, that the things that are being pushed in our culture have the church directly in their crosshairs. The things that are coming against the truth of the Word of God right now, it's not coming as its own thing, but it is coming in direct opposition, and it is coming to take the people of God out. But thank God that there is still a remnant within the earth today, that the Lord is still high and seated upon his throne, that whatever ugly thing decides that it can try and rear its ugly head against the church, it will not prevail in this hour, because we are built upon the solid rock. And I'm telling you today, it is the hour. Yes, there is a season to live in peace with your enemy, but then there's also a season where the army of the living God needs to wake themselves up, put on their boots, put on their helmets, and get to work for the kingdom of God. Come on, the kingdom suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And in this hour, I will not be trampled underfoot, but I will stand up as the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I will stand in the anointing of an almighty God to declare the terms of the kingdom against the things that are rearing their head that are contrary to it in this hour. The sound that we are releasing has to be certain, because if the church is silent about sin, if the church is silent about holiness, about identity, and about truth, then the people do not know where the boundary lines are. And this is also flute mentality. It is compromising to culture. It is compromising to a people that would rather live dead in their sin than to a people who would rather be pulled up and live in the righteousness of God. And we've got to understand that if we are not declaring the boundary lines, if we're not lifting our voice with a certain way, then culture will declare the boundary lines, and it will be completely against the Word of God. Listen, the things that we saw, even like when I think back to my parents' generation, the things that, yes, they were happening, but yet they weren't to the forefront, that those things are now to the forefront of our culture. And not only are they at the forefront, but they are celebrated. Come on, Pride has a whole month. Come on, Islam, is it a rise greater at greater levels in the nation? nation that we've ever seen, and it is celebrated. In fact, I was reading just this morning that last night at War Memorial Stadium, they had a huge Islamic gathering to celebrate the end of Ramadan, where over 2,000 to 3,000 Muslim families from central Arkansas were in attendance. Listen to me today. If you think that the enemy is not coming against the church, then you need to wake up. You need to wake up in this hour to lift up our voice, to cry aloud, to spare not. Listen, the days of flute mentality within the church are over, but it is time for the trumpets to rise in a holy boldness to declare the terms of the Lord in this hour. Am I doing all right? Am I preaching okay? Y'all good? I know it's hard. But I got to be honest, if you get one of my cards later, you'll see on the front it says, save the lost, awaken the church, and mobilize the saints. That's my heart, is to mobilize the people of God. And especially where we live, as I've traveled a little bit more, not in ministry, just traveling just to different parts of the country, and then even in ministry within the state of Arkansas. If we're not careful when we're living, especially in my community too, Heber, and surely, right, we can get isolated almost. We can live in our bubble of, yeah, that stuff's happening up north. It's happening out west, but it's not coming here. It's coming here. And it is time for the people of God to quit playing defense and start playing offense. To get in front of some things, to take back some territory, to post notice on the enemy that Arkansas does not belong to Satan. Arkansas does not belong to Allah. Arkansas doesn't belong to any foreign God, but Arkansas and the people, Arkansas and the fullness thereof belongs to Yahweh, belongs to the one true living God. And I believe with all of my heart that we are living in an hour where as culture and darkness is trying to spread, the light of Christ will only begin to shine brighter and brighter. Listen to me. I believe that the greatest days of the church are not behind, but they are ahead. I believe that we're getting ready to enter into a season of supernatural outpouring that will make revivals of old look like, I mean, we thank God for what's happened before, but yet I'm not looking to go back to what was. I'm not looking to go back to Brownsville. I'm not looking to go back to Azusa Street, because we as the kingdom of God go from glory to glory. So I am looking to dig some new wells of revival. I am looking for the next great outpouring. I am looking for the glory of the latter temple will be greater than the glory of the former. Listen, we are in a day and in an hour where the Lord is longing to pour out his spirit, but it is only coming to those who are willing to position themselves to receive, because for far too long we've lived in the ideal that we are waiting on God for the next move, but in all reality, he is waiting for his people to rise up to the place that they've been called to live in order that he could pour his spirit out. He's looking for a willing people. Of willing people. If our sound in this hour is the sound of the flute, then it is uncertain, it is deceptive, it is confusing, and it is contributing to the demise of the culture we're living in. But if your sound is the sound of the trumpet, then it is sure. It is clear, and it is a sound that penetrates with power and with authority, and it declares the truth in the face of every lie. And in this hour, to love biblically is to declare the truth of the Word of God, not blur it. And we've got to understand that we're living in an hour where the call to righteousness, the call to biblical truth, it's deemed radical. It's deemed hateful, even within the church. Who would have thought? But we're living in an hour where we've got to understand, because culture is trying to bring forth a perverted version of unity. It's trying to bring forth a perverted version of peace and of love. But those things will only lead to sure destruction. But when we bring forth the truth and the peace and the unity and the love that is clearly presented to us in Scripture, it may be uncomfortable for a few moments, but at the end of the day, it will lead us to a place of far better living than if we buy into the lie of culture, even within the church. We have to release a certain sound. The trumpet in Scripture is closely tied to the position of the watchman. And the watchman in this hour must warn against the things that are coming against the people of God. I'm going to read a couple verses out of Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 1, talking about the watchman. It says, again, the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, Ezekiel, speak to the children of your people and say to them, when I bring a sword upon their land and the people of the land take a man from their territory and make him their watchman, when he sees the sword coming upon the land, if he blows the trumpet and warns the people, then whoever hears the sound of the trumpet and does not take warning, if the sword comes and takes him away, his blood shall be on his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, but he did not take warning. His blood shall be upon himself. But he who takes warning shall save his life. But hear this today. This is the warning to those in this hour that are not lifting their voice like a trumpet, to those who are blurring the lines of truth. In verse 6, it says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet, and the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. So you, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore you shall hear a word from my mouth, and you shall warn them for me. Listen, the watchman stands on the wall in order to alert the people of the danger that is coming. And we are watching cultural swords come against the people of God in this hour while the church is remaining silent. And I'm scared that if we don't get a grip on these things, we're going to stand before the king one day and we're going to have some blood on our hands to answer for. And we as the people of God, we as watchmen, hopefully who have eyes to see and ears to hear, we also have a mouth to decree and to declare some things, and it is time that we start lifting up our voice against what is coming against the church, what is coming into our culture that is presented as normal but that directly defies the scripture. We are living in a time where sexual confusion is normalized, where biblical morality is mocked, truth is labeled hate, righteousness is called extremism, and our temptation is to stay silent in order to maintain peace and preserve influence. But understand today that if you maintain influence without integrity, it's to be in a place of compromise. The watchman does not warn to shame, and he does not warn to condemn, but he warns in order to protect the people. The watchman warns because they love, and if we truly love a people, then we will not charm them with the sound of a flute on a path that leads to destruction, but we will charm them with the sound of a trumpet. We will release the sound of alarm in order to protect the kingdom, in order to protect the kingdom of God. Because listen, it is our responsibility to echo the sound of a trumpet, because you've got to understand, and I believe with all of my heart, that there is a day coming very soon where there is going to be another trumpet sound, and the chaos that we're seeing right now will be brought into clarity, confusion will be put into order, and it is our job to begin to echo that sound so that in order that the culture we are living in could come in and be heirs to the kingdom of God. The trumpet sound that was in the book of Isaiah, it was there to bring alignment, to bring in the design of the kingdom. We've got to understand that when we're in alignment with the kingdom of God, that's when we can see the things promised to us that we pick up in verse 8, where it talks about your healing will spring forth. The glory of the Lord will be your guard. And when we're in alignment, that is where verse 9 kicks into effect, where we can call upon the name of the Lord and he will answer us. What a powerful reality that is. That he hears our cry and that he responds to us this morning. But like Isaiah's trumpet brought the people into alignment with the kingdom, there is coming another trumpet sound that will bring alignment. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 through 17, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Listen, I believe that we are living in a day where the trumpet sound is closer than we expect. It could happen before I finish preaching today. And it could be another 100 years down the road. Who knows? But we need to live in the position. We need to live in the expectant, the blessed hope of the return of Christ, that it could come at any moment. And we need to live. Here's what we live. We live like the trumpet, like the return of the Lord could happen at any second. But we work like he's not coming back for 100 years. Meaning, I believe in the imminent return of Christ, but I'm not going to sit back and say, I'm waiting on the Lord. He's coming back soon. I'm going to put my hands to work. I'm going to do what the Lord is calling me to do in this hour, and it's the same for all of us. There is kingdom assignment. There is kingdom purpose. There is kingdom anointing on your life if you will step into it and if you will live it out. And he is calling his people to live in that assignment and that anointing today, because as I've said already, you've got to understand again that history will not close with the sound of a flute, but history will close with the sound of a trumpet. It will close with one final blast and one final declaration. And my question and my challenge to you today is this: will you join in with the sound of heaven now, or is the sound of heaven going to have to interrupt you later? Will you begin to echo the trumpet sound? Will you begin to echo the terms of the Lord in this hour? Are we going to be caught in the position of activity without authenticity? Are we going to be caught in the position when his trumpet sounds with blood on our hands because we have not been the watchmen in this hour? Because we have not warned the people against the attacks from the enemy that are coming? Listen, it is time to put down the flute of cultural comfort and pick up the trumpet to release the terms of Christ. We need to understand then the church needs to take on the position that we will not preach an adulterated gospel. We will not rename sin. We will not lower the standard of living. But what we will do is we will preach holiness. We will call for repentance. We will live in alignment with the kingdom. We will love biblically, and we will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, because when the church is in alignment, that is when our light breaks forth, and we are living in a day when the trumpet sounds that Christ will return. And I came to day to say that the days of the weak and the anemic church are over, but the church is going to rise up in the anointing and in the authority of an almighty God. Come on, we come today to post notice on hell that it does not get to rob, it does not get to steal, because we as the redeemed of the Lord are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We as the redeemed of the Lord are going to lift up our voice to say so, to sound the alarm, to sound the trumpet in order that we could see the greatest outpouring in our time and in our day before the Lord returns in this hour. If the worship team could join me on the platform, I'm getting ready to close. To put down the flute and to pick up the trumpet. Isaiah is one of my favorite books in all of Scripture, especially moving towards these chapters that we're in. Because we see in Isaiah 58 that Isaiah is bringing them into alignment. But then when we flip over, once the kingdom of God is in alignment, it's just such an encouragement, the last couple chapters. Arise. In chapter 60, it says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen among you. Isaiah 61, and I'm speaking this over you today, it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison doors to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Listen, I believe that this is the acceptable year of the Lord, and we're going to step into it with the full force of the kingdom of God in this hour. If you'll stand to your feet across this place. I hope I brought something to you today. My heart behind this, it truly is not to be a negative, to talk of woe is me, all the things that are happening in our culture. But I hope that at some level I've encouraged you today. And I've challenged you today. Because the Lord has equipped us in this hour to be trumpet sounds for the kingdom of God. Equipped us in this hour to declare the terms of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 5 and 9, it says, blessed are the peacemakers. But what that word in the original language of peacemaker means, it's not peacekeeper, but it means someone who declares the terms of the Lord in order to bring healing or wholeness to someone or something. And how many of you know that there's a lot of people in our culture today that need healing? There's a lot of people in our culture today that need wholeness. And you and I have the ability, by power of the Holy Spirit, by the anointing of God, to be the agents that bring that healing. And and that bring that wholeness. But we have to make up in our minds that we will no longer live in the place of the flute. We won't play the flute. We won't charm to appease culture, but we will pick up the trumpet and we will sound the alarm to a generation that is in desperate need of it. And I want to give a simple invite to you today, and it's simply this, that if you in this hour, you in this church this morning, as the people of God, you say, you know what, maybe you've been playing the trumpet sound. Praise God, there's a lot of trumpets in this house that I know of already, but maybe you say, you know what, I want to pick up the trumpet this morning. I want to be someone who helps culture progress towards the kingdom of God and not away from it. I want to be somebody who releases the terms of the Lord in this hour to bring healing and to bring wholeness. If that's you this morning, I just want to invite you forward in a moment of consecration before the Lord to say, you know what, I'm going to sound the trumpet. I'm going to surrender. And here's what it's about more than anything, more than sounding an alarm, more than taking on that position of a watchman, is simply about saying, I'm going to live surrendered to Christ in this hour. I'm going to live surrendered to His purpose and to His plan for my life. And when He tells me to speak, I will speak. When He tells me to move, I will move. When He tells me to act and to respond, I will respond. And so if that's you this morning, you say, I want to live surrendered at the feet of Jesus in this hour to advance the purposes of the kingdom, then I just want to invite you to make your way forward right now. And come, I want to pray for you in just a moment. Father, I thank you today, God. I thank you for your word. Father, I pray it's been pleasing unto you. God, I pray that everything said and done today has been pleasing to you so far, Lord. And I pray right now that you would just begin to move on the hearts of your people. Father, that in this hour you would raise up bold kingdom voices that walk in the anointing, that walk in the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, bold voices in this hour who don't contribute to the cultural compromise, Father, but bold voices in this hour who contribute to righteousness for the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that you would raise up the remnant of God in this hour. God, raise us up to be bold voices in the kingdom. God, to be bold voices to proclaim your truth in this hour. In Jesus' name.